The commission's making some changes in the 2021 NCE tentative selectees. Before you know it, there'll be hundreds of new LPFM grants, likely minus a few for those who did not play by the rules. And the FCC informs Congress that they're acquiring some new high-tech vehicles in their ongoing hunt for spectrum swashbucklers. All of that coming up.
REC, FCC Today, PG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Wireless Wednesday, January 24, 2024. The FCC has released their annual report required under the Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement, or PIRAT Act. In their report, the FCC stated that they handed down two forfeitures, one for the maximum of $2.3 million in Queens, New York, and another for $80,000 in Oregon. The report also stated that in fiscal year 2023, the FCC sent out 44 notices of illegal pirate radio broadcasting to property owners and property management companies, including 25 that were related to the pirate sweeps mandated by the legislation. The FCC's pirate radio database has been updated to the end of 2023. The updating of REC's Dingers and R database was put on hold for the past few months due to activities related to the 2023 LPFM filing window. We will be catching up on all of the enforcement data soon. The report also states that the commission has also continued to place orders for additional customized mobile direction finding investigative vehicles. The FCC ordered six vehicles to support the additional staff being hired to enforce the Pirate Act. The vehicles, which will include specialized hardware and software for the detection of pirate radio operators, will be placed into service throughout 2024 and 2025. If you are listening to FCC Today through a podcast provider, please take a moment and visit the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel at youtube.com/Michelle Bradley. We invite you to subscribe to the channel and set notifications so you can be informed of new episodes of FCC Today, the podcast, as well as our new series, FCC 101, which provides education on FCC rules and policies and other related information. The first episode of FCC 101 discusses Section 73.3580, the Broadcast Public Notice Rule. This is a must-listen for new LPFM applicants, as well as others planning on making changes to their stations soon. Once again, that's youtube.com/Michelle Bradley. The FCC has made some decisions on groups of mutually exclusive applications from the 2021 non-commercial educational FM filing window. This includes a newly determined tentative selectee in MX Group 152 for Gallup, New Mexico. Adjustments in technical points resulting in changes in tentative selectees for MX Groups 54 and 76 in Wekiwatchee, Florida and Burlington, Iowa. The FCC denied challenges and upheld their original tentative selection in MX Group 200 for Crystal Gardens, Texas. The FCC also upholds their previous selection in Grand Forks, North Dakota in MX Group 122. In that group, Grand Forks Bible Study Group, current licensee of KEQQLP, had filed an application for review against the declaration of Bible Broadcasting Network as the tentative selectee. In this case, while Grand Forks Bible placed appropriate documents in their application to justify their points, they made some no answers on the certification questions to the application, which they attempted to change to yes on a post-window amendment, arguing that the exhibits were clear that the applicant already qualified for the points. The full commission upheld the Media Bureau's previous findings that Grand Forks Bible made a prohibited amendment to their application in order to enhance their comparative score. Bible Broadcasting Network remains the tentative selectee for that MX group, and actually their application has already been granted. In Key West, Florida, the FCC agreed with applicant Newland Broadcasters Incorporated that they should have been the tentative selectee in MX Group 51 instead of Telamerica Communications. According to the record, while Telamerica claimed that they had no authorizations at the time of the original filing, they had acquired two construction permits in the window in Deming and Alamogordo, New Mexico. As stated in the window's public notice, applications need to be updated to reflect subsequent activity, such as new authorizations, for the purpose of the first tiebreaker criterion. Telamerica failed to make those amendments on their applications, and as such, the FCC has adjusted the number of current authorizations to two. This puts Telamerica and Newland in a tie for the first tiebreaker. In the second tiebreaker, Newland only filed one application, where Telamerica filed 10. Therefore, Newland will prevail as the new tentative selectee in MX Group 51. On Thursday, January 25, the FCC will hold their Open Commission meeting. The agenda includes enhancing the disaster information reporting system, wireless 911 call routing, mitigating orbital debris, and expanding the use of the 70 and 80 gigahertz bands. In addition, the FCC will decide on five enforcement bureau actions. Meeting starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time and will be streamed on YouTube and at fcc.gov/live. Finally, the audio division staff remains busy sifting through the 1,336 applications filed in the 2023 LPFM filing window, and on Monday, January 22, sent another significant batch of singleton applications to public notice as accepted for filing. This starts their 30-day petition to deny period. These grants should be expected in very late February or in early March. REC Networks has started informal objections against singleton LPFM applications where the organizations proposing new LPFM stations lack any recognition from any state as a nonprofit corporation, a baseline requirement for licensing. Today, REC has filed 13 informal objections, including several against attempts to obtain multiple LPFM stations that are likely to be controlled by the same party. LPFM stations for educational purposes may only be licensed to nonprofit corporations recognized by the state, or if the organization claims to be in an unincorporated association, the application must include a statement from an attorney quoting the text of the applicable state law and an explanation of how the organization's educational activities comply with the state's unincorporated association law. As of the time of this recording, 661 singleton applications have been accepted for filing, 89 have been dismissed, and 586 remain pending as either singleton or mutually exclusive. So far, the FCC appears to have dissolved 20 MX groups that were originally identified by REC, bringing our estimated total number of MX groups down to 127. FCC Today, the podcast is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean and other popular podcast providers. Please subscribe to the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel to stay informed. For up-to-the-minute applications and actions at the Media Bureau, visit our official website, fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com for assistance with LPFM, full-service FM, and FM translators. Please contact REC at 202-621-2355. Until next time, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good day from Riverton. REC.